On this episode of Cox Talking Gamecocks, I go over the absolute heater that the men's basketball team is on as they have eyes set on the bubble for the NCAA tournament. I also go over next steps and games for the women's basketball team, review the men's baseball team recent victory, and preview their upcoming series this weekend at home. Okay, here we go. Welcome to episode 45 of Cox Talking Gamecocks. I am your host, Tim Cox, where I will keep every episode from 1801 to 2001. And we're going to do a little reset like we do every now and then. If you are a loyal listener, I thank you very much, truly. This has been a lot of fun, this project, this podcast. But if you are a new listener, thank you very much. Welcome to the jungle. Welcome to the funhouse. But what I mean by 1801 to 2001 means I aim for every episode to be nice, short, and sweet, from 18 minutes and 1 second to 20 minutes and 1 second, in an ode to our university being founded in 1801, and of course, 2001, A Space Odyssey. But don't bust my chops too bad if I miss it. Little long, little short. It's just a fun thing that we do. But it is a great week to be a Gamecock. The good vibes have been high. Vibes are high in Gamecock country. We had a lovely, great weekend. Baseball team won their series opening. We had men's team, huge win. Women's team, national spotlight, huge win. And it just kind of felt like the good vibes kept going. It has been a great, great time to be a Gamecock. And outside of those sports, softball, they had a great opening weekend, if I'm not mistaken. Our tennis team did well on the men's side, I believe. Track and field is doing their thing. So everywhere you look, it is really exciting things going on in Gamecock Nation. And I love it. I absolutely love it. We have a jam-packed episode for you today. I like how I say we. It's literally just me. It's just me, myself, and I here. But we have a jam-packed episode for you. But before we jump into things, as part of our football off-season protocol, we have our Gamecock Fact of the Week, Fact of the Day, rather. And here we go. Fact. 25 years ago, South Carolina softball pitcher Trinity Johnson tossed 3 perfect games in the same season. Trinity! Wow! That is an accomplishment to hang your hat on. 25 years ago, I would be shocked if anybody has done that since. That's incredible. 3 perfect games. Your name's Trinity. I feel like there's a little synergy there, right? Trinity means 3, right? Try. How about that? 3 perfect games. That's pretty remarkable. The softball field, stadium, whatever you want to call it, that we have at USC is gorgeous. It is really nice. I mean, if you have the opportunity to go to a game, go. It is nice. You really wouldn't expect it. I believe it's right off Rosewood, if my memory serves me correct. And you can see it when you drive past it. Really nice new stands, nice backdrop. Very cool. Shout out to the softball team. But we're going to jump right into things here. I could not wait to record tonight because the men's basketball team, tic-tac-toe, 4 in a row, and we're going to keep the rhymes going. I have to eat crow because I am happy to say that our basketball team is hitting their stride right now. It was actually pretty funny. I was out to dinner. A lovely dinner, a nice dinner that I had made reservations a while ago, so it wasn't like I could change them. And meanwhile, the court cocks are just as hot as ever. This place, 0% they're going to have a TV. Reservation was right after tip-off, so I was getting a lot of text updates and things like that, but was very happy to catch the tail end of that game and was happy to see the result in that game. So really, it is a total turnaround from our men's team. I mean, this team felt dead in the water not even a month ago. And now we're looking at 4 wins in a row in the SEC. couple nice wins, too, when they're thrown in there, LSU particularly. Our upperclassmen, they're playing well. And even the body language on this team, the energy, it's just different, right? From the guys, how they handle themselves on the bench. They're rooting for each other. They're into the game. They're pumping up the crowd. But Frank Martin himself, it seems like he's being a little bit more positive, getting after these guys a little bit less. The vibes just seem high there as well. And this team has their swag, has their stride. At the right time, Frank Martin said in a press conference, no one remembers winning streaks in December or January. They think of them and remember them now. And he is absolutely right, because this team is hot at the right time. If you don't know what I'm referring to when they beat Mississippi State 66-56 in front of a home crowd, a solid home crowd, not packed. Colonial Life was not packed that game, but they were loud. They were proud. The cockpit is rocking. Side note, I'm really glad that we have this official student section is the cockpit. No matter what game, it's the cockpit. I know some people unofficially called it that, but it's been branded. There's signage. There's the Twitter account. Absolutely love it. What I thought was cool about this game, looking back at it, was we were winning at the half 35-23, and we were able to hold on to that lead. I think we might have technically been outscored in the second half, barely, but this was something that the South Carolina team had struggled with when they had a lead at the half. They would tend to give it up or let teams get fully back into it, but they played well. Some player highlights here for y'all. Jermaine Cousinard with 22 points, and you know that meme, that video? I think I got my swagger back. Oh, Jermaine Cousinard. I think it's officially safe to say he has his swagger back following up a huge performance. I think it was 30-something points against LSU with solid 22 points. He is seeing that hoop so well right now. Keyshawn Bryant, KB, following up with 14 points. And, of course, a monster jam. Eric Stevenson with 7 points. James Reese with 9, but a very cool fact is that all four of these guys played 30 minutes or more. And I have said that these are the leaders, not even me. Like, anyone who's watched this team knows that those guys are your leaders. They're upperclassmen. They know how to handle their business. And as well as they do, if they go, so does the team. So you need them to have good nights. And if you can get two or three of them with some big time points like you did with Cousinard and Bryant, it goes a long way. But more importantly, they're playing quality minutes. I feel like Frank has shortened down the rotations a little bit. He's really focused on a couple of key players to play those big minutes. And I think it's going a long way. Guys have trust that they're going to stay in the game. They're not afraid to shoot the ball. Frank wants them to shoot the ball. And it was really great to see. And also, as a team, we out-rebounded Mississippi State 38-29 in the boards. And more importantly, though, we were able to capitalize on that margin. We've seen games in the past where we might have won something like that, or we held teams to bad shooting nights, but we were not able to capitalize. This team is able to do that. And it's very, very cool to see. But with that win, like I said at the start of the show, the bubble talk is totally real. There's still work to do for the regular season, and obviously we have the SEC tournament, but all of a sudden, this team has a solid record and has a real shot at 20 wins. And to me, ending at that 19 or 20 win mark and 500 or better in the SEC is, first off, very impressive, incredibly impressive, considering where this team was earlier in the year. But two, that's a solid benchmark for your tournament resume. I know that those stupid net rankings, what even is that? Like, net win, quad ones, what are we doing here, right? It makes no sense. I know we've moved up a little bit, but I think you have a team like Vandy who stinks well above us, and we've beat them twice. It makes no sense to me. But I look at our resume. We have a couple quality wins sprinkled in there. But this team is getting hot at the right time. It really is. And you know what? I'm happy to eat my words here, but I think it's night and day as to what we saw earlier in the season with this team. Not even a couple weeks ago. This team looked flat. They didn't have a lot of energy. They looked lost. And it just felt like the time had come to move on from Frank. That's just what it felt like. And I don't know if something was said or if they heard that and took it personally, but this team found something these last four games. They're playing with heart. They're playing with energy. They're playing with swagger. They're playing with belief. And Frank is coaching very well. He's mixing up the defenses. He didn't let Mississippi State get comfortable. So I don't know where this team's going to end up. You know, I don't want to speak to Frank or not anymore, really, his future. Right now, this team has a chance to do something very impressive. Still have work to do. But in speaking of work to do, their next game is Saturday night against Alabama. That's in Tuscaloosa. Now, Alabama, right now, they're ranked 24th, 18-10 record, and 8-7 in the SEC. So sort of comparable overall records to us. They do have that winning record in the SEC. Actually, I think that's matching it as well. Excuse me. But they are having a very solid back half of their season. They started off slow. They had a great year last year. They started off slow this year. And basically, when they beat us, it kind of feels like their season turned around. So typical. But when you look at the overall stats and everything like that, they like to play fast and they like to shoot. And we were able to hold their shooting down very well last time. And so they score about 80 points per game compared to our 71. But they tend to give up some more points, right? We give up 69 and they give up 75. So you see that differential right there, right? So my first crow to the game here is try to play the game, come to our pace. Now, we do have a strong breakout, fast break point potential ourselves. We are very good coming out of that. But Alabama, as I said, they like to shoot. They like to push the pace. So if we can slow it down and allow Frank to throw out different defenses like he did against Mississippi State, it could stop Alabama from getting into a rhythm. We're going to have to play very good perimeter defense as we did the first time we played them. Now, my second crow to the game here is out-rebound them and capitalize on it, just like you did against Mississippi State. And especially if those rebounds are on the offensive side of the board and we get those second chance points, we can hang in there. Now, those are two huge, huge crows to the game, and those are going to be the difference maker for sure, on top of relying on this upperclassman leadership that we've seen. And overall for the game here, this is a massive game. There's no way to put it. We're in the final three-game stretch, and this is beyond important for any tournament chances. Our last three games, we have this one against Bama, then Mizzou, and then ending with Auburn. So it sort of feels like you have a medium test, a hard test, and an easy test, with Mizzou being the easiest, Bama being the medium, and Auburn being the hard one. And so with this game being that medium, it even gets harder when it's Saturday night on the road in a place that typically we have not played very well. So we're going to have to really rely on our leaders to continue to step up, get some key plays sprinkled in, guys like Devin Carter, Wildens Levesque, right? Josh Gray, maybe even. Hopefully we can make this a tight one at the end, because if we can sneak this one and then take one from Mizzou, I think we are firmly on that bubble. I may be looking ahead there a little bit, but it starts with this game, really. So you have three games left. If you can split them and you went 500, you went 2-2 in your last four, looking back to the LSU game, that's impressive. But if you can sneak this one, and then presumably you go and you have a slightly easier test against Mizzou, wow, that is one hell of a way to end the season. But it all starts with this game. Can't look ahead. We can't think about bubbles. We can't think about the SEC tournament. One game at a time, because we are in a position to do something very important. So Saturday night, tune in and let's go, Cox. Moving over to the women's side of things, they are playing Texas A&M. They're playing later tonight because that game is Central. So I'm not going to be able to watch it. I'm recording. I like my beauty sleep, but Texas A&M is pretty bad this year, and I'm just going to manifest it. There's one goal with this game, y'all. I'm manifesting it. Please, basketball gods, help Aaliyah Boston get the record. As we all know, she sits at 19 consecutive double-doubles, sharing that title right now. And if she gets to 20, she will sit alone with that record. So, Dawn, I'm sending it telepathically through you. Do whatever you can to help her get the record. Hopefully I'm manifesting this and it becomes real, because that would be amazing and she deserves that 1,000%. Now, the women's next game and their season finale, by the way, can't believe I've covered them in this podcast for a full season. It's been incredible. I have really, really enjoyed watching this team closer than I ever have. But it is Sunday afternoon at Ole Miss. Ole Miss is 21-6, 9-5 in conference. Don't know much about them. My quote of the game here is just get your minds right. Take care of business against the Rebels. It's still an SEC game. You want to end the season on a high note. But understand that after this game, the mission changes. And the mindset is that you're hunting for two trophies, SEC and the National. So get your mind right. Get your rotations right. If you got to rest some players, do that. But whatever this team needs to do, and I trust Dawn Staley immensely, get your minds right for the next steps. Now, that wraps up basketball. That was electric. But moving over to a different sport, because it is a full-on baseball season now, the Gamecocks, they had a W in their midweek game, beating Winthrop 7-1. I love the midweek games. Obviously, baseball games are longer, so I wasn't able to watch it all, but it's perfect. Take my laptop, sit on the couch, watch baseball, answer some emails, act like I'm busy, watch Gamecock baseball. Hell yeah. Yeah, the SEC Plus broadcast was ass. I did see that got changed. We're going to have a score bug, have a couple cameras. So it shows and proves that angrily tweeting with enough people at the right people can actually make real change happen. They should do some sort of study on Gamecock fans getting ESPN and the SEC network to improve their broadcast, because the opening weekend one was ass. But it was a great win, 7-1. Over Winthrop, sort of a palate cleanser, if you will. It was a real up-and-down opening series against UNC Greensboro. A couple come-from-behind wins. You got nervous in the last one. You had the walk-off win. It was up and down. This was a nice, good old-fashioned butt-whooping, which I think we all hoped we would have seen in the opening series. But hey, we got it in the first midweek game. Winning pitcher, Cade Austin. I like this kid. Not the most overpowering stuff, but when he's on, his location is very good. He can pound the zone, pitch to contact, rely on that defense, and clearly it worked. Look at the final score. Some player highlights here for y'all. Colin Burgess, 2-for-4 with 2 ribbies. Michael Braswell with 1-for-4 with an RBI, and one hell of a play at shortstop. Just went back, backhanded it, and slang it. Like, that is a perfect shortstop play there. Defense through the roof. If you don't know what I'm talking about, go find it. It's all over the Gamecock baseball Twitter. But it is safe to say, y'all, that we have a freshman phenom on our squad in Michael Braswell. Kid can do it all. It's been, what, 4 games? I already love this kid. He could be that X factor for the team this year. And on top of it, the kid just signed with Roc Nation. Shout out Michael Braswell. Congratulations, Hova. Roc Nation, big time get there. And Kevin Madden with his first home run as a Gamecock. That was exciting. Obviously, there was a lot of offense throughout the team, but those couple of guys stood out there. And now their upcoming weekend series, it's the homestand continues. So we're staying at Founders against George Washington. George Washington was actually swept in their opening series, so might be limping into Founders Park a little bit. Got me licking my chops there. Pitching rotation as it stands right now, Friday Will Sanders, which I think is going to be the staple Friday pitcher henceforth, fancy word. Saturday, James Hicks, that was the same 1-2 punch, but Sunday is to be announced. You remember last Sunday was Slyler, and it didn't really go so well, so I think we're still trying to figure that out, figure out who can be that Sunday pitcher. Maybe it's going to be sort of a starter opener rotation deal there. But my crow to the series here is continue the timely hitting. Continue to work on that situational hitting. We saw more of that against Winthrop, and I hopefully can continue. Also, my second crow to the series here is let's see some strong bullpen performances. Now, admittedly, I don't know who is the best guys to keep an eye out yet for our bullpen, in our bullpen rather. But we allowed UNC Greensboro to creep back into that first game. And obviously that last game didn't go so well for the first 8.5 innings, essentially. But we did see a strong end of the game performance in that season finale to stop the bleeding. So we need to figure out who is going to be those lockdown pitchers. And that is a big key, as you want to be able to hold on to leads that you get. But with that, y'all, that wraps up this episode. Please follow me on social media. Twitter is Cox Gamecocks. Instagram is just the name of the show, Cox Talking Gamecocks. And please like, subscribe, and leave reviews for the podcast wherever you are listening to. I appreciate all y'all. We have a huge weekend ahead of us, Gamecock fans. Let's root them in wherever you're watching, wherever you're at. Go Cox.